Fusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday, 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Good day, wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
Use dissent with disloyalty. We must remember always that accusation is not proof, and that conviction depends upon evidence and due process of law. We will not walk in fear one of another. We will not be driven by fear into an age of unreason if we dig deep in our history and our doctrine. And remember that we are not descended from fearful men, not from men who feared to write, to associate, to speak, and to defend the causes that were for the moment unpopular. We can deny our heritage and our history, but we cannot escape responsibility for the results. We proclaim ourselves, indeed as we are, the defenders of freedom wherever it continues to exist in the world. But we cannot defend freedom abroad by deserting it at home. Cassius was right. The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves. And good luck.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're ready, because straight from downtown Columbus, Ohio, it is time for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
Hey, welcome to the show. Today is the 20th day of July, 2022. Don't forget, we're listener-supported here. At the radio station, so I appreciate it if you head over to our homepage, go to freedomslips.com or revolution.radio, make a donation. We appreciate that. This is Liberation Nation. I'm your host, Deacon John. It is Wednesday, July 20th, 2022. Yesterday, internet outage, couldn't get on, and whoever covers me, I appreciate that. Thank you very nicely. Let's start off here with Putin predicts revolutionary changes. This is over at RT.com. He says only truly sovereign states will succeed after enormous geopolitical transformations, the Russian leader claimed. A new epoch of world history is approaching, and only truly sovereign states will be able to succeed. In the changed environment, Russian President Vladimir Putin said on Wednesday, speaking at a business forum, Putin claimed that, quote, truly revolutionary, enormous changes would lead to the creation of a new, harmonious, fairer, and more community-focused and safe world order. In the new epoch, only truly sovereign states can ensure high growth dynamics, he said. By the term sovereignty, the Russian president means freedom of national development, and thus of each person individually, as well as technological, cultural, intellectual, educational, viability of the state, and a responsive, active, and nationally minded, nationally oriented civil society, he said. Such a state, the president said, will serve as an example for others when it comes to the standards and quality of people's life, the protection of traditional values, and high humanistic ideals. It's kind of a world of sharp contrast to the Western-dominated unipolar world order, which in Putin's opinion is, quote, becoming a break on the development of our civilization, close quote. He accused the West of being racist and neocolonial. Again, I say racist and neocolonial, saying that its ideology, that's our ideology, is becoming increasingly more like totalitarianism. President argued that despite attempts by Western elites to preserve the existing world order, the changes are irreversible. We've been discussing the end of the unipolar world for a long time, since 2007. So the idea of a new multipolar world has been discussed in the West too, recently by German Chancellor Olaf Scholz. However, following Moscow's offensive in Ukraine, the West declared its intention to isolate Russia and impose tough sanctions on it. Russia views these actions as another manifestation of Western attempts to contain it and maintain the existing world order. Well, what say you, hijacker? The great and mighty king of Mother Russia, Vladimir Putin, has declared a multipolar world and said that the West and the elites are corrupt and it's over. Their day in the sun is over. They're done. They're wrong. They are defeated. What do you say, hijacker?
You used the word multipolar, not bipolar. Mm-hmm. So
correct.
Now we're talking about various power centers. There's another power center rising up. It's the Pan-Arab crescent. It goes from Morocco all the way to Iraq, Arabia, and that's all the Arabs getting together forming their bloc. But the ironic part is, Deacon, is that all the West had to do before they started this Maidan, coup in 2013 and 2014 in the Ukraine, all they had to do was just sit, let the Western banks, in other words, invest, because we now know that there's no way that a sovereign, independent, developed Ukraine could exist without it directly hurting Russia. Russia couldn't have had like a mini Russia that was just as rich, if not more richer, that was actually logistically closer to Europe. And so, but they just had to take over. And then not only did they take over, once they did, they couldn't let it be. And so they had to go to war. They had to bring bio weapons labs in there. They actually had to, mess with this guy until Russia had to react. You remember, they had 150,000 people on the border. They were about to attack Donetsk, which would have drawn Russia in. Putin just jumped them, being the great and mighty king that he is. He could read it. So now what are they down to? They're now down to, in a couple of years, when you say Ukraine to the great and mighty king of Mother Russia, Vladimir Putin, he's going to say, oh, you mean Ukraine, that big farm. That's right next to Poland. So, yeah, what a mistake they made. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But the reason why I got on today is that the West, including the Americans, have basically pulled out an emergency alert. All Americans, any families connected to Americans, embassies closed, everybody.
Where?
Get out
Russia?
Of Ukraine.
Oh, right, Ukraine.
Get out of Ukraine, right. Because there's something really big that's about to happen, and some people are speculating that the Ukrainians are going to use the MRs, the long-range artillery that the West gave them, to knock out that bridge, that Crimea bridge that connects Russia. And that will, what the Dmitry Medvedev says, that will invoke Judgment Day. All of them will be targeted. And it basically will be their last day. So what they're actually planning, I don't know. But it's really getting ready to heat up. And finally, before Dugai jumps on, I did find a new gunslinger, Sons of Liberty Radio, .com. I think they're on GNC. But Deanie's a good guy. He's a gunslinger. new show. I think I heard him before, but I just tripped across him, and I actually did a call in today talking about the council concept. And yeah, he knew all about nobody's getting organized. And basically it's the Christians and they're all their little kingdoms that are the reason for the problem. But anyways, yeah. So go ahead.
Okay. Real quick before I bring Dude Guy in, this is also on RT.com. I just went through an article where Putin has declared a multipolar world and basically said that the Western elites are criminal, fraudulent, and that their day in the sun is over and there's nothing they can do about it, and that they're the ones that destroy civilizations and individualism and freedom and that type of thing. I'm paraphrasing. And then compare that with today at RT.com. White House makes annexation claim. Moscow is laying the groundwork to take swastika territory, make it part of Russia. The White House says, we have information today, as a quote, we have information today, including from downgraded intelligence, that we're able to share with you about how Russia is laying the groundwork to annex Ukrainian territory, that it controls in direct violation of Ukraine's sovereignty, close quote. John Kirby, U.S. Intelligence, now Security Council spokesman, said Russia launched a military campaign, blah, blah. So they've got, I guess they set it out, man. They set it up. They've got their war or their opposition. This is like compare pre-World War I, pre-World War II. Is that what we're doing here, dude guy? Is it all rhetoric, or are the Western elite spoiling for a fight? Or has Vladimir Putin sort of outchessed them and it's kind of over right now? What do you say?
Well, hello, gentlemen. The world is moving quickly. And we're heading toward a tumultuous fall, in my opinion, both literally and seasonally. And you can see the drumbeat of war in Europe and in Asia. But the drummer is not ethnic groups itching to fight each other. It's all being animated by the globalists.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the first clue in that this is not organic. The people of the world just a couple of years ago were generally at peace.
Mm-hmm.
Had your conflicts here and there, like in Yemen, of course, but those were globalists manifested too. We were relatively prosperous, even though that was an illusion with all the financial structure on top of us. We were capable of being prosperous because all that is a bunch of BS. It's a bunch of numbers that were created so they could run the system and never have to have their frauds exposed. But that's all coming to an end now because it can't go on any longer. They've been shoving their financial fraud farther and farther into the future for a long time and farther into the second world and the third world. And they already collapsed because of it, for the most part. That's one reason all these people are trying to get into this country. They have no idea that we're about to meet the same fate. I mean, they're leaving their sinking ship that the globalists have caused, and so I mean, in one way I feel for them, but it doesn't give them the right to come here because this is a globalist war, and so they're out to protect their system, not their nation, because they don't have a nation. It's their system, and to really make a historical parallel, because I think some people see this as the Federal Reserve. Some people see it as the IMF. Some people see it as, you know, the World Bank or the Vatican Bank or Israel, the Rothschild Bank. You could say that. Okay. They're all part of a system. Now, it doesn't mean they're always working together. Sometimes they are. But they all playing at the same table. They're in the same poker game. Okay? And this system is a direct descendant of the corporate system from Roman times. It has the collegia. And it has endured since then, waxed and waned. The Venetian system was a reconstitution of it. And what we would know from our revolutionary times that was the prevalent one in our times was the British East India Company. And that's really what this system is. It's a huge corporation with a bunch of pirates that run it.
Right. It's economic slavery. And they had human slavery back then with the triangle trade and all that and the colonies. And now they're reintroducing human slavery with their technology, aren't they?
But they've had it all along. Yeah. They were just honest about it back then.
Correct.
They were in your face because you couldn't do anything, but we did do something. And so they covered it over Epstein style. It's been here the whole damn time.
Right. Well, did you hear John Perkins, the Confessions of an Economic Hitman, when he finally got his revelation and he realized it's like the come to Jesus moment or when he got saved and he realized exactly what he was
doing.
What
did I do? What did I do? Oh, my God.
Yeah. He said he was in the Caribbean at a really immaculate plantation or a five-star resort paradise. Yeah. And as he was standing there and as the sun was coming up and he looked over all the nice lawn and the statues and the five-star mansion and he looked out and he says he got this epiphany that he realized – that when he was walking, on the bones of hundreds of thousands of slaves that had made it possible for this kind of plantation to actually be built there.
And like then the blood diamonds, exactly.
Yeah, that's what he was realizing he was doing the whole time was coming up with the system that dude guy's talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the IMF – I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just disagree with you. Go ahead, Deacon.
I was going to say the IMF has come out and is shilling for the elites here. IMF, this is RT.com. IMF warns of consequences of Russian gas shutoff. Some EU countries could go into recession, according to the organization. Total shutoff could reduce the GDP of the most vulnerable member states by up to 6% and send them to a recession. International Monetary Fund said in a blog post. So there you go. IMF noted that Europe lacks a comprehensive plan to cope with gas shortages. The prospect of unprecedented total shutoff is fueling concern about gas shortages, still higher prices and economic impacts. While policymakers are moving swiftly, they lack a blueprint to manage and minimize impact, the IMF wrote. So, well, there's their false flag or their order out of chaos. There's the chaos they want order out of, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean – they cannot let people be in a good position mentally, physically, spiritually, financially, in any way to oppose them when their system really starts to collapse and when they try to reimpose their new system. They cannot let you be in a position to oppose it very easily or even identify it. I mean, the whole point of this isn't because there's some immediate necessity right now to stop all carbon dioxide. Obviously, the ocean has not swallowed New York or London. I mean, Jesus Christ, it hasn't even swallowed the Netherlands, and they're 6 or 10 feet underwater. Because they built those dikes and they still work, don't they? They're kicking those farmers. They're kicking those farmers off their land. They're not running from the water.
That's a good point. That's a new one, new guy. It's an original. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the fact is, nothing has changed in the 30 years they've been alarmist and insisting that we change our entire way of life because. Just around the corner, it's all going to rocket up into a runaway greenhouse effect. And yet they can cite no time in the planet's history that has ever happened. Even coming out of an ice age, the temperature does go a lot higher because the planet finds what? A new equilibrium. Yes, the planet has feedback mechanisms that force it into an equilibrium. We, absent mass worldwide volcanoes like Venus has, we will not be going into a runaway greenhouse effect.
No, it's not from humans. If something like that were to happen, it would be a catastrophic natural disasters.
Yes.
We're not. Humans are causing that, right?
Look, we've dropped how many nuclear bombs on the planet? I mean, the planet's still here. We got some radiation, but it's still here. Are you going to tell me a Ford Explorer is worse than a hydrogen bomb for the planet?
Yes, AOC says yes.
Okay. Well, you know, this is the problem with people that believe that, is that it's really it's a way of winning an argument you couldn't otherwise win by giving it moral camouflage. And they're seduced not by any argument based really on science, but the moral idea of it, of capturing the moral high ground without having to make a nuts and bolts argument anymore. Because what's happened to socialism is that it's lost all the nuts and bolts arguments. It's lost all of them.
And the academics who are the ones who formulated those policies and put forth by the politicians now have abandoned the working and lower middle classes. They booted
That's
them
right.
for the technology.
And you know when this happened? I'm gonna make this. Now this is part of I'm actually putting together. I'm writing about this. I may come out with a presentation or a book or something, but it's part of what I'm writing about. So I'm gonna lay it out here. What you think of this idea? If this makes sense to you. But when did all this climate change stuff start, generally, in your mind? How long ago?
Al Gore, Inconvenient Truth.
Okay. But it was
– 2000.
Okay. But
I remember in the 70s when I was a kid in school, they were talking about the climate and how cities and modern society and civilizations were dangerous and recycling and all that bullshit too.
Right.
Population
well, you remember,
bomb, that type of thing. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So right around the early 1970s, when that book came out, the population, the limits to growth, that was the study that came out for the Council on Foreign Relations, I think, limits to growth. There was a decision right at the time we were forced to go off the gold standard and go on the fiat standard, the limits to growth was making an argument to blame who for the limits of human society? The elite, or the peasants?
The peasants, the consumers.
Ah, okay. And so who was making the argument, the elite or the peasants?
Well, you had pseudoscientific and organizations like Greenpeace and such, the shills,
right.
The shills for
so,
the elites. Go ahead.
The elite who take all the benefits of this system, the prestige, the pay, the position, the privilege, but none of the responsibility or the blame for its downside. Who do they give that to?
Well, it's our fault.
Okay.
We wouldn't allow the politicians to take everything from us and make us drive around in electric cars and bullshit.
Okay. So let's just – we got to be very, very clear about this. So that's – the elite have decided since they were forced into what they knew was going to be a fiat system that would have a limited lifespan. They couldn't figure out a way to make a permanent overclass that would be funded by the underclass. They're saying, well, eventually this is going to come down. We got to figure a way to justify, a reset. And when did Klaus Schwab start his World Economic Forum?
Well, it was he started that shit when Trump was president and we had the lockdown with the COVID, right?
No, basically. But I mean, when did he start the World Economic Forum?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Well, if you look back when it started in 1971.
Oh, that's when he was up in the White House and he had his picture taken with Henry Kissinger.
And that's the same time Limits to Growth came out. And that's the same time we went off the gold standard.
It's a plan. It's a 40 or 50-year plan. They had this all planned out.
There you go.
I would add another factor in this. And that factor is guilt and criminality. They have to do what they're doing because once we take a look at each one of these men that have become billionaires, we now know the only way that they got rich and they got this money was through criminal activity, a criminal system.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I mean, all of them, this is how much wealth there really is in the world. There's no way in the world with this modern technology we should all have to work this hard. There's no way. You're telling me I have to work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week at a job just to support myself, not to even be wealthy. Right. And I have the same, you know, maybe a slightly better standard of living than somebody in the year 1910. You know, I mean, not that different than somebody, let's say 1930, 90 years ago.
You know, and now they want to kick you back to the Middle Ages with farming and such and food supply.
Right. So, I mean, people in 100 years ago worked, a lot of them worked, not everybody, but a lot of people worked 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, you know. And think of all the advancements we've had just since 1922. Yeah. All the advancements. How much has society benefited? You remember all those labor-saving devices? You remember the television show The Jetsons? Well, how many days a week did George Jetson work?
Oh, I don't remember, but that was a good show.
This was the ongoing theme. He worked 3 days a week, I think 5 hours a day. And he complained.
Pretty good, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that was people. This is like 1958, people's vision of the world future. That wonderful future we were all going to have. Okay? Well, but where's all the money gone? To these people.
Right. Just all 1% have got more than the 80% of the world. But just think of the invention of the combustible engine. I mean, the bulldozer, the first bulldozer. 1924 or 1925. Think of all the labor. Think about just the farming. I mean, right there, that should have been a renaissance. Go ahead, Deacon.
All right, we're going to be right back with you, Guy and Hijacker, and I think we finally settled on what the deal is. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
This is David Dungeon from Shiny Side Out. You're listening to Revolution Radio. And now we return you to Liberation Nation with Deacon John.
Okay, don't forget we are listener supported, so head over to our homepage on the internet. That's either freedomslips.com or revolution.radio. Make a donation. So I think basically what they're going to do then is they're going to use the Europeans, as the fodder, the bait, the trap, whatever like that. And they're gonna put them into poverty and freeze their asses off and turn around and blame Putin and Russia. So there you go.
They're trying to find an excuse to have these lockdowns again. That's the goal. And I think the real question is, do they think they can reinstate COVID again? And I'm thinking they don't think so. People aren't having it. They're trying piecemeal to reinstate it with mask mandates in San Diego and New York and other places. Mm-hmm. But only in the super heavy Democratic areas are people really complying at all, as far as I can tell. Most people have completely – they're done. And when you have places right next door, you know, that people can see that are not following these policies. I mean, look at Florida, for God's sakes. It's chock full of old people. Mm-hmm. They're not following these policies. So – how are you going to maintain that kind of illusion when there's lots of people that aren't going to go along with it? And we've already had a lot of evidence that none of these policies helped anything. The numbers were not statistically, you know, different between lockdown states and non-lockdown states. And in fact, the damage to children was worse in the lockdown, obviously, because it hampered their development, and they're exactly the ones that did not, you know, whatever viruses there were out there didn't pose a threat to them, because there was almost no evidence of child injury or being treated in the way that a lot of these people that had they're older people that have comorbidities, right? And so they would really prefer to do that, because it provides a more fear and more of a cover. What I'm hearing is they're considering doing a climate emergency, because that's what Biden announced today. So
I see. Ben Noon said the other day in a video that they're going to do a climate emergency, and that's how they're going to pull off what they need to pull off. Otherwise, they can't do it.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to try to keep COVID in the background in case they need to roll that out again, but they're going to try with this climate thing. So that's why it's hot right now. I think they're doing the HARP atmospheric heaters and other things to keep the moisture away from certain areas like California, Texas. They're putting the drought on. They're doing all the – they're emptying all the reservoirs. I don't know if you heard, but they've been doing this in Germany too. That's why, like, the Rhine River is super low. I think they're somehow diverting water out of it if they have some way of doing it. I'm not familiar with their whole system, but they're – usually these rivers like the Mississippi have been engineered so they can manage it somehow. So if they're able to interrupt the flow or divert it somehow, or maybe the higher temperature is causing more to evaporate, I don't know. We're just getting rid of the rain. Whatever they're doing, they're trying to manufacture a climate emergency so they can declare this. Even though none of these temperatures right now are anywhere near all-time records, even though they're claiming that they are, I know, hey, it's July, for God's sakes. It's always hot in July. I mean, but there's very to me, the climate has nearly not changed in my lifetime. It's about the same. You get a little bit of variability every few years as to where you have a – whether you have a really brutal winter or not. And that comes and goes like every 5-6 years. It gets – you get a couple of bad winters, and then you get some deep, you know, mild winters, and you get some bad – I mean, really. I mean, that's just the way things are. But they want everyone to freak out over this so they can declare their climate emergency. So that's what he did today.
I disagree. I think they got to go war. The media, their main organ of influence over the population. I heard the other day, only 11% of the people now even watch the media. Forget about the credibility. They're like bottomed out. I mean, like Tucker Carlson's got like the biggest show on cable. Nobody's listening to them anymore. The CBS, the CNN. So you, in order to do a climate lockdown, you got to have the media to brainwash people, and it's just not there. So I'm thinking the only thing they got, which is the reason why the United States is telling everybody to get out of the Ukraine, is to kick off a war, which means blowing that bridge, attacking Crimea, sinking the Blackfeet fleet, and then they're going to get their regional European ground war. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're not going to do that stuff. I said they're going to keep COVID in the background. They're going to keep fighting. I just think right now they don't think they're going to be able to lure the Russians into the kind of war that they want in time. And this is all on a time scale where they're coming up to the damn election, and they need to kick this thing off soon or go forward with their backup plan soon. And so right now it looks like they're rolling out their backup plans in case they don't get the war, which they might not get because Putin is really screwing with them. He's causing Europe to implode. He's able to just slowly move forward in Ukraine. I think the part of the reason he's slowly moving forward in Ukraine is so that he can make sure that all of his generals are doing what they're told. So none of them go off the rails and do anything stupid that could be provocative and make Russia look like the aggressor. And so he's making sure that all their bombs go right where they're supposed to and not across a border or something, which is very smart. And so now that they're, you know, that they've conquered a lot of what they needed to, yeah, they can go a little bit farther. But I still think it's going to be restrained. He's going to move in the south, it looks like. But it looks like he's also going to be moving somewhat in the north, because that area that opened up around Sumy. And it might – I hear Zaporizhia might also be in play. So that's right in the center of the country. So, yeah, that – but that's not going to justify, you know, a major nuclear war. They're going to have to attack – I guess Crimea, you know, they've already been shelling some things inside Russia. But there was a story the other day that the Biden, defense, the Pentagon gave, or the State Department gave Zelensky, or the, you know, the Russians, or the Ukrainians, the okay to shell Crimea with the HIMARS system, and that they were going to be supplying them with longer range rockets. So, yeah, they're going to try, but I mean, I just think it's going to be tit for tat, and that's partly, like we said, Zelensky's doing his purge because some people want to cut a deal. They see where this is going, and Ukraine's going to be all ground up. They're taking such losses that even the people who are on Zelensky's team know that it's unsustainable for much longer. The society is imploding. The army's imploding. The economy is imploding.
I'm saying, like, the United States pulling out all diplomatic personnel, everybody out of Ukraine. Some people say that they're going to use that long-range artillery to target the Black Fleet. And if they sink the Russian Black Fleet, all hell's going to break loose.
The artillery isn't going to sink the Black Fleet. You need the Harpoon missiles.
Well, whatever and they're going to use. Yeah.
Well, the Black Fleet isn't right there anymore. It isn't right off the coast where it was. They pulled out of Snake Island, which was a vulnerable area. They pulled out of there. So they're back in Sevastopol area. And that, you know, there's going to have to be a sortie of some kind to reach them, to get within range where they could be targeted. So from my understanding, that isn't an option right now without the U.S. getting involved either in the Black Sea or in the air. You know, so what's going on generally now is this war isn't ramping up fast enough for their needs to initiate, to change the election, to cancel the election, to change the rules of the election, whatever they have in mind. It's not enough, and it's not soon enough. So they're trying these other things, like this climate thing he announced today. They're going to just try to throw everything in the kitchen sink at it. And meanwhile, pursue the war. You know, they're doing everything they can. But you got this.
What about Alex Jones' card? He says that Biden's on the menu, Harris, a JFK type play. What about maybe they go big. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, as they get closer, that's an option. They're not going to do it yet. That's going to. As we get closer to the election, you can expect the insanity to ramp up. But, you know, I mean, you have to realize that some of these people are completely insane. Or they're just really stupid, really privileged, and they just hate normal people. They have no – their ivory tower – I mean, ivory tower doesn't even begin to explain it. They're aristocrats in the finest tradition of Marie Antoinette. Okay. And so they have no use for the rest of us. That's how detached Washington and like New York City is now, where you've got a class of people that openly embrace depopulation. And you know who was one of them? We found out from her own stupid book is this Dr. Birx. She wrote in her
Scarf
book
Lady.
That she just came out with, yeah, Scarf Lady. She wrote in her book that she's the one that pushed for the lockdowns, and she actually lied and did all this subterfuge in order to help bring it about, even though she violated her own stay-at-home orders for herself, and that she never believed in the vaccines. And that's why you had that testimony the other day that I played where Jim Jordan was – questioning her about the vaccine, saying, when you said the vaccines were going to stop the spread, did you know that at the time, or were you lying, or were you waiting on new data? And she's like, I think it was just hope. I mean, you can believe this, telling the whole country they have to take a vaccine that you hope will be useful. You don't know. Mandating all this, all the people that have been injured and died. And this woman who, to my understanding, doesn't really have a lot of expertise in this area. was put in charge of this because she's a friend of, like, one of Mike Pence's aides' wives who brought her in on this, and then she was put in charge of it. So, I mean, this is, like, how out of control this class of people are. And the thing is, Trump's response to her, even though he didn't like her, at least the Trump team, was inadequate because they cut her off from some of the personnel in the fancy office she was supposed to get and gave, you know, cut down her resources once they figured that she wasn't kind of with them. But then she still was able to get out of that and go campaign around the country pushing lockdowns on all the governors. Like, they didn't try to stop her from doing that. You know, I mean, it's like there's no real urgency for them to protect the country at large. It's kind of just protecting their fiefdom in Washington or in New York or in the halls of power. And then the image is important, the optics are important, but actually going out and, you know, stopping a policy from being enacted that, you know, has not been thought out very well on their part. And someone has thought it out very well, obviously. But a lot, what I'm saying is a lot of these bureaucrats and all these people like Dr. Birx that are implementing it, they are just told to implement it and that it's good. And because they agree with the people who are telling them to do it or push it, they don't have a problem with it, whatever it does. It's like, oh, good. Well, take care of these plebs, you know, whatever. They get what they get. You know, they're not concerned about it. That's why there's no due diligence. They're not that concerned about it. We're not that important to them. No matter what the plan is or what the crisis is, coronavirus, nuclear war, it doesn't matter.
Well, then that gets along the line of the thinking of Zen Garcia. These people are of the serpent seed line. They're not actually of the same bloodline. They lack empathy, compassion, something they lack. They're sociopaths, lie all the time, psychopaths. So Satan's children. I mean, that's really when you actually step back and you take a look at it, you say, wow, this is the way the earth is set up. So
here, listen to this review of her book, just part of this review. Let's see. Somehow it makes sense that Dr. Birx would neglect to mention. Reading her book is very painful. Is a very painful experience, simply because it seems to be weaving fables on page after page, strewn with bromides, completely lacking in self-awareness, punctuated by revealing comments that make the opposite point of what she was seeking. Reading it is a truly surreal experience, astonishing, especially because she's able to maintain her delusionary pose for 525 pages. Recall that it is she who was tasked by Anthony Fauci with doing the really crucial thing of talking Donald Trump into greenlighting the lockdowns that began on March 12, 2020, and continued to their final hardcore deployment on March 16th. This was the 15 days to flatten the curve that turned into 2 years in most parts of the country. Her book admits that it was a two-level lie from the beginning. Quote, "We had to make these palatable to the administration by avoiding the obvious appearance of a full Italian-style lockdown," she writes. "At the same time, we needed the measures to be effective at slowing the spread, which meant matching as closely as possible what Italy had done. A tall order. We were playing a game of chess in which the success of each move was predicated on the one before it. At this point, I wasn't about to use words lockdown or shutdown. If I had uttered either of those in early March, after being at the White House only 1 week, the political, non-medical members of the task force would have dismissed me as too alarmist, too doom and gloom, too reliant on feelings and not facts. They would have campaigned to lock me down and shut me up." In other words, she wanted to go full CCP, just like Italy, but didn't want to tell them that. Crucially, she knew for sure that 2 weeks was not the real plan, even when she said it. She said, I left the rest unstated, but that this was just the starting point. No sooner had we convinced the Trump administration to implement our version of a two-week shutdown than I was trying to figure out how to extend it. And so now, to me, on one hand, this is almost too convenient for Trump in one way. But another way, somebody like her, I have to believe her and Fauci, there was always their plan is to have CCP-style lockdowns because that was the point of all this. Now, to me, there's still a huge burden that Trump did not stop this and let her go on. Because if you read more of this, she goes on these long campaigns to convince all the governors and stuff to adopt these policies. Now, she was not the only one, obviously. This whole thing had been planned, as we know, in Event 201 and all this other stuff for years through Bill Gates and all this other stuff. So obviously, Dr. Birx and Fauci is an exponent of Bill Gates. And that this is something that Trump.
Well, they're business partners. Yeah.
Right. And so this is something that Trump and all these guys should have known about. So I'm not buying the whole line here. I'm just saying that even in the public stuff we're getting in her own damn book, she admits to lying about everything, about the vaccines, about the lockdowns, about all of it for our own good. Can you see what type of government they want to give us even more so than they do now? This is their version of socialism, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Also, when it gets down to now they got studies out of what the death toll from the lockdown, what was the increase of the death toll as far as people not getting cancer treatment, suicide, drug overdoses. It's even more deaths. In fact, there's one state, I don't know if it's New Hampshire or it's one of those states up there. In 2019, they had 40 pages of obituaries of people that died. Guess how many pages they got now for 2022? 640.
Wow.
From 40 pages of, you know, obituaries of dead people to 640 pages. That's one state.
Now,
go ahead.
Just listen to, here's a couple, I'm just going to hit some headlines here. One, White House physician pushes for new mask mandates. Okay, this is just from the 18th. Dr. Ashish Jha, White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator, advocates for the return of state and local mask mandates. It really will make a difference just for 2 weeks, right? So, of course, then come the vaccine mandates, which they're offering a monkeypox vaccines in New York. And the Gothamist is saying monkeypox mass vaccination sites open with 4,000 jabs as city waits for more. And I don't know if this is partly propaganda or what, but they interviewed a local bartender, Larry Bullock, saying, I'm craving it. My pores are like, gimme, gimme, gimme. I work in a gay club. I need it. I've been wearing gloves to work for the last 4 nights, and I never wear gloves to work, but I've noticed my hands are soft and supple now, which I almost think that's a joke. But the city reported.
Yeah, you know who's lining up to get it?
Yeah, the gay guys, I know.
That's right. A young
right.
gay
But
man.
That's, the, you know, who do eugenicists want to get rid of, you know? So to me, it just shows that people think these things work. You know, this is especially in liberal bastions like New York and L.A. and, you know, wherever. And so now, even in the face of reports coming out day after day, and here's one from the Epoch Times, natural immunity from Omicron strong against virus subvariants, new study. And it says protection afforded by surviving COVID-19 was strong against the latest virus subvariants, including the one currently dominant in the United States, scientists in Qatar found. People who were infected with Omicron, a variant of SARS-CoV-2, had a 76.1% protection against symptomatic reinfection and 80% shielding from any reinfection, regardless of symptoms, according to the preprint study. So there's just more and more studies that are coming out from all over. that say you don't need a stupid vaccine if you're anywhere reasonably healthy. And no, I'm not a doctor, but these people are. They study this stuff and they're putting the information out there, but our media won't report it. Instead, they open up these freaking sites and jab 4,000 people in New York City. And there is no informed consent. They don't say, well, there's a study here that says natural immunity is better, but oh, just take it, you know. And of course, this monkeypox vaccine is a smallpox vaccine. It's not a monkeypox vaccine. That's what they've been using for it. And that they don't tell people that monkeypox in Africa, people just take a pill for that. I forgot what it was called, but it's a problem in Africa, and there's a pill form treatment for it. There's been one for years. You don't need a vaccine. And it's just people's trust in the government, especially in the healthcare system, is still there despite all this, at least for some people, even though they're demonstrating day after day, they're not worthy of that trust. You'd think with all the money involved, with all the deaths that have been caused, people would at least question, you know, I mean, I wonder how many of these people have ever questioned their doctor. You know, get a second opinion. That used to be, you weren't a racist if you got a second opinion. It's like, oh, you're only getting a second opinion because your doctor's black. It's like, no, I actually just want a second opinion because it's my health. I mean, now, latest VAERS update, 29,460 deaths admitted on VAERS. You think that's enough to get these vaccines examined again, talked about? Is it worthy of talking about? Nah, let's just keep jabbing people. 50,000 cases of myocarditis. 50,000 cases. These people are going to – it's permanent heart damage. Not worth anything in the media, though. So.
All righty. There you go. Okay, dude guy, thanks. Thanks, Hijacker. Tonight is today Wednesday? What's today?
It is.
All right, we're going to do the High Council at Midnight Studio A. That's it. Dudes News on Telegram, and say goodbye.
All right, good night, everybody. Take care.
Natural Law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone banking. Welcome to the Crypt.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law, spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Alert, listen up now.
To the border with Control 0XE.